Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Giuseppe Ottaviani is the feature interview for tonight's episode, ahead of his gig here in town on Saturday, April the 1st, to showcase his brand of trance. And we will get to that shortly, but let's check out this episode's track of the week to kick things off. RF label boss Rennie Foster drops Compromat 1. This is the Kavoka remix. Enjoy! Proof that the local scene is thriving. Another great slice of techno as Rennie Foster's latest can be had wherever you buy tracks. On to the feature for tonight's episode. Uber producer Giuseppe Ottaviani is at the Harbor Convention Center on Saturday, the 1st of April, and I was fortunate to interview him ahead of that gig. Here we talk Live 3.0, plans for the future, and his Horizons music project. Full track listing and a selection of Giuseppe Ottaviani web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Here is the first half of the interview. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Italian DJ and producer Giuseppe Ottaviani. He's been producing and mixing for over 2.5 decades. During that time, he was formerly a part of Pure Energy alongside Solar Stone and New Energy alongside Andrea Rebecca. Highly prolific, he has 12 pages of tracks on Beatport with releases on Armada, Vandit, Subculture, Black Hole, A State of Trance, and his own Go Music. He has clearly made his mark on the scene. He's collaborated alongside Armin van Buuren, Ferry Corsten, and Paul van Dyk, and remixed the likes of Marcus Schultz, Tiesto, and Solid Globe. His latest track, Conscious Mind, dropped back in February and is available on FSOE, so check that out. He's toured everywhere and will be in Vancouver at Harbor Event Center on Saturday, April 1st, and that's what we're here to talk about tonight. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Giuseppe Ottaviani. So kicking things off here, how would you currently define your sound, and would you say it's evolved over time?
Good to be here. Yeah, well, my sound is a little bit of moving around right now because pandemic played a big role for me. I'm always been, you know, knowing and making only uplifting trance, like 138, 140 BPM, high energy, high speed uplifting trance. Honestly, over the course of the pandemic, especially here in Italy, which was a little bit harsh, you know, with a big lockdown, I just had a chance to explore new sounds, different things, slowing down my BPM a little bit because, you know, back then there was no dance floor to be seen. And so I didn't really feel to keep doing the same sound. And so I slowed down my BPM quite a lot. I discovered the new artists. I discovered the new, new music around, basically. And then I just came out with a brand new album called Horizons. which is more on the progressive side of things. And I have to say, I'm really enjoying this music now. And that's also what I'm doing. It really depends on the type of shows that I'm playing. You know, sometimes we brand the shows as Horizons. That means it's more of a progressive kind of a extended set. Some other time it's just me, which is like, you know, 1 hour high energy stuff, including, I don't know, even techie beats. I really love the techno as well. So I put elements into my set too. And then I have what we call the Live 3.0, which is me performing live, which is an hour and 30 minutes max of a live performance with 90% of exclusive music. And we keep that very exclusive for, like, you know, big stages, big festival, and a max of, say, 5 to 6 times per year. Kind of a flexible right now, if you ask me.
Okay, let's talk about inspiration here. Thinking way back to the beginning when you first got interested in this kind of music, can you think of a couple of tracks that really made an impact on you, and what were they?
Actually, my background music is a little bit of a mess. I didn't get into this type of music until, I don't know, 1996, 1997 maybe. Anyway, the Ferry Corsten remix of Adagio for Strings, that was the track that really brought me here, basically. So that was the track that made me think about, you know, this music as my choice for my business as well, because I loved it. And so, yeah, I started with that. And then, obviously, at the beginning, I started a project together with a couple of friends of mine. We were three people in the beginning, called New Energy, N-U-N-R-G. We've been performing in Canada quite a lot. It was good fun. And the first track that I can mention is basically it's called Dreamland, New Energy Dreamland. That was the breakthrough track that allowed me to start this as my main job. Yeah, and later on, obviously, you know, as many things go in this world, we have to split up. So in 2005 we split up and I started my solo career. And there is, of course, even there, a very important track for myself, which is called Linking People. And that's the first production I ever made on my own. And that was a track that allowed me to start my solo career. And and basically talk about this with you now.
Okay, based on a live 3.0 video that you have posted on your YouTube channel, I notice you're using Ableton in that situation. When you're producing tracks, is that the DAW that you're working with, or are you working with something else, and why?
No, when I'm producing tracks, I produce in Cubase Pro 12 right now. Because I don't know, I've been using Cubase since day one, so I'm really used to this software. And the thing is that, you know, whatever comes to my mind, I can translate this into my computer. So that's all I need, honestly. But of course, when it comes to live performances, Ableton Live is just next level. So it allows you to do so many different things when it comes to play live. Obviously you cannot use Cubase there, but yeah, I mean, I never use Ableton for my productions. It's just and solely used for the live performances.
And then when you are producing with Cubase, are you using mostly their internal VSTs, or do you like to bring a lot of external stuff and even your own hardware into your productions as well?
Well, for so many years, I've been a hardware guy. I mean, back in the day, you know, there was not really software to make music. So it was just the Cubase was just the main sequencer. And then everything was hardware, which I still have. If you look around on the web, you will see me in my studio. I have a lot of keyboards, you know, analog mixers, analog outboards. I still use this because, you know, I think that touching a real thing, it really, you know, brings the right inspiration for me. But obviously in the last few years, everything, especially with my tour, everything became a little bit more complicated to carry on with the hardware, because I have to deliver and respect deadlines. So I have to basically keep working on the plane and in the hotel rooms. And, you know, I'm touring quite a lot, so I can't just start a song in a studio with a keyboard, because then I don't know how to you know, to keep working on that on the plane. It's impossible. So what I'm doing now, it's kind of a hybrid setup where I do everything in the box with the software, and then at the very last stage of the track, I just swap sounds with some of my keyboards just to make them a little bit more unique, having, you know, this little touch of the real thing, basically. But yeah, I'm like 90% in the box right now.
Trace, but I can taste horizon.
All right, you're highly prolific. I mentioned earlier the number of Beatport pages of tracks that you have available for people. How do you continue to get inspired to make tracks at this stage? Do you have ideas in your head before you start producing, or do you just like to play around with the computer and keyboards and see what comes out?
No, I'm usually like a full of ideas constantly. Like there's like a non-stop for some reason. I don't know, but I really get inspired by, obviously, you know, traveling around the world, having my gigs. Like I spend quite some time at shows. I don't just come for my own set, but I just like to be there a little bit earlier and stay a little bit longer just to see also other people and just to feel the vibes, just to see what the crowd really likes. And that kind of inspired me in doing new ideas. And that's one thing. And the other thing is that, you know, when I'm in the studio, I like to play around with my synthesizers. That's why I still keep my hardware, because it's really inspiring me. So I keep playing, you know, come up with some melodies, some ideas, some sound, and then a new song basically starts. But yeah, I mean, it's just an ongoing thing. Like, this is one of the reasons why I have my studio in my house, because at any moment of the day or the night, it doesn't really matter. You know, if I get some idea, just jump into the studio and write it down.
Okay, you made reference to this earlier. The third part of your Horizons project dropped back in December. Prior to that, you had parts one and part two. What was the inspiration for that entire collection of music that you've put out, and how would you say that experience has been for you?
Well, part one and part two is basically the main album, because it's 9 tracks on part one and 9 tracks on part two. So that's the full album. And it's been made during the COVID time. Yeah, you know, stuck in my house. What you can do? Just make music, more music. So I made a lot of new music that I came out with an album. And this album sounds different, as I explained before, because not having to perform on a dance floor, you know, I didn't feel to make the same music as before. I just wanted to make something a little bit different, something that you can enjoy. Just listening to it, or, you know, like in your car, in your house, in that case, or just, yeah, I mean, not really something specific for the dance floor. So that's why I came up with a more progressive kind of an album. And then we have part three, part three, it just popped up when obviously the dance floors opened back up, and the part three is the basically is the uplifting mixes of part one and two together.
Okay, let's shift over to the idea of label boss here. Your Go Music label looks to be around 10 years old. What would you say is the musical policy for the label? And also, I've noticed recently you've taken on more of a mentorship role in the whole thing. Are there any artists we should be on the lookout for, or any big tracks coming out that you want to share with us?
Yeah, right now, this is funny because we are taking a break with the label. So Go Music is on a vacation for now, at least for this year, because I'm just too busy. Yeah, as I mentioned before, right, I became a little bit of a mentor to these guys because, again, during the pandemic, I had the time to create a masterclass. That's something that, you know, people, it's been always asking me for years. And so I had the chance to record and set up a masterclass. And from the masterclass, basically, we linked the label. So all the members of the masterclass, you know, I help them to become a little bit better producers, because a lot of people just jump in and try to make music, but they're not really, you know, it's not that I'm missing the basics, but they're missing the next level thing. So I was just trying to help them out with the masterclass, of course, and then we had a community where I was present and was just giving feedbacks. You know, all my tips, everything I could say to a new producer to become a better producer, basically. And then, you know, a few of these guys really became pretty good for me, and I started releasing those tracks from these new artists. And if you check out on Beatport, you will see the Go Music Masterclass EP, EP1, EP2, EP3. But then my touring schedule became crazy, and it was impossible for me to be in the community, and it's impossible for me to listen all those demos. So I had to step back and say, okay guys, if I don't do this right, I rather don't do it, because I don't want to release something just for the sake of releasing something. It has to be the way I like, and it has to be me involved, you know, in the process and promoting it, selecting it. I'm very selective, so because I have no time right now, it's just impossible for me. I just decided to take a break from the label, so we can talk about this in 2024, I'm sure, but for now, it's just on a break, yeah.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discordia Magazine. How about that?
Smokey every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discordia online at discordia.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
You are listening to the Giuseppe Ottaviani interview here on Techno Progressivo. The station is 101.9 CITR. I'm DJ Wah, and there are classics, and then there are classics. Solid Globe's gem North Pole rounded up the first part of the interview, with Giuseppe Ottaviani adding some of his magic to a 2014 remix. Up next is the track Bittersweet. Full track list and a selection of Giuseppe Ottaviani web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Here is the second half of the interview. All right, let's talk about Live 3.0. On your YouTube channel, you recently posted a set from a Subculture Bangkok event. Your live performance setup is much different from traditional CDJs and a mixer and seems to be fairly unique to you. How does Live 3.0 work, and what pushed you in the direction of doing this for your performances?
Yeah, I'm always been performing live back in the days because, I mean, I've never really been a DJ. I've always been a producer. So for me, my performance is all about the music that I make in the studio. And then basically play in front of a crowd more than just being a regular DJ, you know, where you select music from Beatport and you just go out and play. It's always been me performing my own mixes. But again, because I became so busy, I couldn't carry on with the live shows every single gig. So what we've done was making the live show bigger and more exclusive, and all the rest is going to be a DJ set, which is fine. So the Live 3.0, which is fairly new, it's been launched in 2020, right before, you know, all the dance floors were shut down. But yeah, I mean, that's my thing. Basically, I work a lot in the studio making exclusive tunes for the 1 hour performance of the Live 3.0. So the majority of the work, it's been done in the studio where I prepare, you know, my entire set, and then I bring this into my live setup. And what I'm doing is basically just controlling the stems from the tracks, adding live drums with my drum machine, and playing the main parts of the songs. For example, you know, like a lead or a pad or a piano, just playing, you know, live elements to make it sounding a little bit more live. And you will feel it because I make a lot of mistakes. So that's good because it makes it real.
Let me fly in the sky, just take me there. Are you running, 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 scanning?
Okay, let's build on that a little bit. I wanted to ask you a few more questions about the full setup. I noticed you have a digital clock running in front of you the entire time. What's the purpose of that? Do you ever make mistakes? And when you're playing your tracks, do you ever remix them or adjust them on the fly? Or do you like to perform them as they were made in the studio?
Yeah, so the clock, it's just to remind me that I have to stop my set at some point, because if I play, I just carry on. So no, that's just a regular clock that every DJ has. So it tells you when you start and tells you when you have to finish. That's totally normal. I can modify on the fly, I mean, within certain limits, because the backing track is running. So, you know, it's how can I explain this? You know, if you play techno, right, which is all based on loops, you can be 100% creative. You can, you know, you can play the song the way you want. When it comes to trance, where you have to follow a melody, you have to follow vocals, you know, you can't really make the track upside down. So what you can control, what I can control, are the single elements, you know, the main elements. So say the kick, the bass, the vocals. You can apply effects. I can control the drums. I can create new drums on the fly with my drum machine. And then the melody, I can play in the melody from the original. I can play a little bit of a different melody. I can do a melody from one song on top of the other song, just because it's me playing that melody. So you can be creative in that sense. It's obviously not 100% live as it would be with a different setup, because as I said before, you have to follow the song. It's pretty creative, yeah. It gives me a nice feeling for sure.
Seven.
Okay, just one final follow-up question about the whole Live 3.0 setup. Just because the production of that show is so large, are you having to travel with a crew when you do that, or is that something you can do and manage individually?
Not really. It depends on the shows. Visuals are not synced to the show, so there's not really need of bringing a crew for that. But what I actually need is just to fly there a day before and go for the sound check, making sure everything works. And then, of course, it's always a big stress, you know, because computers are beautiful, but you never know how it goes. And I don't have a plan B. I mean, I don't have a backup. So that makes me a little bit, nervous every single time. So whenever I finish my set, I'm always like, oh, yeah, that was great. It was great because, you know, technically it was okay. Nothing really happened. But it happened to me a few years ago that one laptop just crashed and there was no way to wake this laptop up again. And so I had to stop halfway and continue with my USB 6 playing the rest as a DJ set. But it's really rare. I mean, actually, that was the only one time that happened. But, you know, that makes you conscious that technology is beautiful, but it's never 100% on point. And let's talk about some of your influences. Can you tell me about one or two producers or DJs whom you really admire and why? He's my mentor. That's Paul Van Dyke. He's the one who actually discovered me, and I'm always been influenced by his music, and I still am. I mean, I still really like what he does, and you know, it's like he's the one that brought me here, so he's obviously one of my favorites. But then also, as I said before, I listen to different music as well, and during the pandemic, I discovered a new artist. One of them is called Ben Bomber. Now, don't kill me for this, but I didn't know about Ben Bomber before. But yeah, I just became a fan. He makes beautiful music, beautiful. So yeah, I'm a big fan. What else? I mean, yeah, another guy that I've been following a lot was Deadmau5. Yeah, a few years ago, maybe. And big inspiration as well, just because I love the way he makes music with all the hardware. I really see myself, you know, into that kind of environment. So yeah. Yeah, I know. But yeah, I mean, I listen to a lot of different people, and I really like to be inspired by anyone. Doesn't have to be a big name, doesn't necessarily have to be a big name. Can be anyone, because the way I think the inspiration works is that I get inspiration and from every artist. There are elements that I like from different artists, also in different genres. So I just take those elements, bring them into my sound, and then eventually my sound can inspire to other artists. You know, it's kind of a cycle where everyone inspires everyone. And this is how the music evolves, basically.
Okay, final question for you here. Is there anything else that you like to promote at this time?
I think we just mentioned the new album, so that's the thing. Yeah, I have, of course, a new collaboration going on, which are in the making. I'm collaborating, for example, with Ilan Bluestone. He flew to my place, and we had a nice 5 days together in my studio. We even made a short video of our production that reached out 1.7 million on TikTok, and it's I think it's 1 million views on Instagram, which is quite a big number for my account. So I'm really happy with that. So we're looking to release that song. It's called Futuro in Italian. He wanted some Italian name, which means future. Yeah, and then I'm doing some other collaboration which are in the making, so I can't really mention that. Yeah, there's just new music in the making, so there is not really a plan right now. After spending almost 2 years on the album, I'm enjoying a little bit of a freedom, so I really go with the flow. Collaboration with Ilan now, fine, and then we move on to the next one, we move on to the next single. But yeah, I don't really have a specific plan, so I think we just go with the flow right now.
This has been Giuseppe Ottaviani. A selection of his tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Spotify, Juno Download, and Bandcamp. As well, a full listing of Giuseppe Ottaviani weblings can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Remember to get down to Harbor Events Center on Saturday, April the 1st to catch him live, and tickets are still available for that online. Thank you very much for doing this.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater, check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Giuseppe Ottaviani for agreeing to interview for this. His collaboration with Armin van Buuren, Magico, closed out the interview. Also, remember to check him out next Saturday, April the 1st at Harbor Convention Center to see that brand of trance music on display. Head over to Techno Progressivo's Facebook page to check out the track list and a full selection of Giuseppe Ottaviani web links. If you've enjoyed the show and want to check it out again, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at CITR.ca or Apple Podcasts to check out more great interviews and guest mixes from days gone by. Keep up to date with the show. Follow our socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls on the time machine for this episode's Track from the Past. For this one, we're going to hop back 21 years in time to 2002 when progressive house and trance ruled the scene. Max Graham remixes Conjure One and Reese Fulber here. The track is Sleep. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here next time.